So Rabbeinu Tam was asked the following question. We know that there's a halacha that if a woman is mizana when she is married, so not only does she become asura to her husband, she also becomes asura to the person that she commits adultery with. Right? That's the din of echad labal, echad laboel, that we learn in the context of sota. So Rabbeinu Tam was asked the following question. Tosis quotes this Rabbeinu Tam in a few places. Shech Yanu, Ikiyamanu, Vigyanu. Welcome back. So Rabbeinu Tam was asked the following question. There was a woman who was married to a Jewish man, and she was mizana with a goy. She committed adultery with a guy. And then what happened? Obviously, she got divorced. Didn't work out with her husband. The guy was chozer b'tshuva, converted. And now the question was, is she allowed to marry the guy? That was the question that Rabbeinu Tam was asked. And Tosis quotes this Rabbeinu Tam in Maseches Sanhedrin, Maseches Ksubis. This is a famous tshuva of Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam answered that even though we know that there's a din of echad la ba'al ve'echad la bo'el, that when a woman is mizana, she becomes asur to the ba'al, she also becomes asur to the bo'el, to the person that she commits adultery with. Says Rabbeinu Tam, based on a Gemara Maseches Yevamos, which quotes the pasuk in Yechezkel, zirmas susim zirmasam, that the seed of goyim is like the seed of a horse. Don't have to cross do something with that. So that's what the Gemara in Yevamo says in a different context. So says Rabbeinu Tam, therefore the bia of an akum is not considered bia. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, when the guy converts, she is muteris to the guy. Why? Because since bias akum lav shma bia, since when she had bia with the guy, it was considered bia. So the simple interpretation of Rabbeinu Tam is not only does she not become asura to the guy because that bia did not register, she's not even asura to her husband. So Rabbeinu Tam allowed in that case when the guy converted for her to go ahead and marry this convert. I'm sorry? So the simple read of Rabbeinu Tam, we'll see in a moment. The simple read of Rabbeinu Tam is that she is still muteris to her husband. She divorced her husband. What? If she's a Kohen, then she's nivul al apostle and she'd be asura to a Kohen. But let's say she was not a Kohen. Good question. I'm not sure. I think it's explicit in the Gemara that with respect to Kuna, the bar is higher. It's still considered Bia with respect to Kuhuna. She's still nivul al apostle. Good question. The Gemara. Good question. I forget what the halacha is by Behemoth.
So we're
about to discuss. So that was the famous Pesach of Rabbeinu Tam. The woman was mizana with a guy. So Rabbeinu Tam permitted her to subsequently marry the guy after he converts, even though there's a din of echad labal, echad labowel. In this case, since bias akum lav shma bia doesn't register, and therefore she's allowed to go ahead and marry this convert. So again, just to be fair, there is a machlokes rishonim how to understand Rabbeinu Tam, whether he even permitted her to stay married to her husband or no. Rabbeinu Tam would agree that she's asura to her husband. He just allowed her to now go ahead and marry this convert. So we're going to assume for the rest of the shir, like the opinion of the Rishonim, Tosfos Shanz, most Rishonim assume Bedas Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam permitted her to marry both, to stay, remain married to her husband, and also to marry the guy, who is now a ger. So, again, Tosfos quotes this Rabbeinu Tam in Maseches Sanhedrin, Maseches Ksubis, and in both places, it's a very, very long Tosfos, and Tosfos quotes the Riva, who argued vociferous, and he was very, very, he quotes many, many sources which seem to be soser, contradict the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. So one of the sources that the Riva quotes was a Gemara that came up in this week's Daf. The Gemara in Sota and Daf Chavav. What does the Gemara say in Daf Chavav? So the Gemara says in source 2, Amar of Hamnuna, Ovid Kochavim Mekanin al Yodo uposal b'tshuma. So the Gemara says that a husband, a Baal, can do kinoi and say to his wife, I don't want you to be alone with a certain guy. And if she does, she becomes asur to him, and she becomes pasul betruma if she is a bas kohen. So says the Gemara, mekanan al yado pshita. The fact that the Baal can do kinoi and prevent his wife from having this stira, yichud, with a guy is obvious. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'od seima nitma nitma shtei pa'amim, echa labal v'echa laboel. I would have thought to say, since the Torah says that she becomes asura both to the Baal and the Boel, hecha de kemitzra behaznus, aval ha hol v'asura v'kaima eim melo kamash malan. I would have thought to say that it only is true, she only becomes asura to her husband when through this kinoi she'll become, or the Bia, she'll become asura to the Boel, or the person she had yichud with. But in this case, she was already asura to him because he was a guy. So I would have thought to say maybe in that case, the kinoi does not work, and she will not become asura to her husband if she violates the kinoi. Kamash malan, nevertheless, if the Baal does kinoi with a guy, meaning he says to his wife, you can't be with goy ploni, the kinoi is chal, it's significant, and if she violates that, she becomes asura to her husband. That's the Gemara here we had in Masechta Sota and Daf Chavav. So says the Riva, you see from that Gemara, not like Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Why do you see from that Gemara not like Rabbeinu Tam? Because what's the whole concern about kinoi? The concern about kinoi is that if she violates the kinoi and she's nistara, there's a concern that she had bia with the person that she was misyachedis with. And then she would become asura to her husband, right? There's raglayim ledavar. We had a bunch of gemaras about that. So says the Riva, you see from the gemara that she becomes asura to her husband when she violates the kinoi and she has stira with a guy. And just like says the Riva, just like she becomes asura to her husband when she violates the kinoi and she's misyached with a guy, so too she should become asura to the boel, to the guy, when she has this yichud with the guy because of the din of echad labal, the echad labal. So says the Riva, you see from the Gemara in Sota, he quotes a bunch of Gemaras, but this is one Gemara, you see from this Gemara in Sota, from the halacha of kinoi, not like Rabbi Nathan, because clearly the Gemara is assuming that she becomes asura to her husband, and by dint of that, also asura to the guy when she has yichud with the guy when she violated the kinoi. So the Riva is assuming that the kinoi is a function of if she actually had bia, if she was actually mizana, she would become asura, then the kinoi should also lead to her becoming asura. That's what the Riva is assuming.
So the Gemara says there's kino for goy, and he's taking it one step further. Saying if there's kino to goy equals echad l'bal of pas.
By actual znus. If she's actually mizana. Kinoi and stira is just raglaim adar. We assume that she was mizana. Right? We don't have evidence per se that she was nitma. Then she wouldn't... Exactly. Then we wouldn't have her drink the mesota.
So
says the Riva, if you, the Gemara is assuming that kinoi and stira apply to yichud with a guy, right. So he assumes, hu hadin, says the Riva, hu hadin, if she actually had bia, if she actually had znus with a guy, you see that... What was that?
We could turn that she does without the echelabah.
Okay, so that's one of the rayos of the Riva. So how are we going to answer Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? So there was there's a famous tshuva, a very important tshuva of the Beis Halevi. And just to give a little background to this tshuva, very fascinating, Rabbi Simon's pointed out to me that Rav Shechter in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav quotes from Rav Soloveitchik that there's apparently a family tradition. Rav Soloveitchik was a great grandson of the Beis Halevi. That's his namesake. The Beis Halevi was Rabbi Yosef Dov, Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, and the Rav from YU, his name was Rabbi Yosef Dov, Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. So he apparently had this family tradition that this is the background to the following tshuva that we're going to discuss in the Beis Halevi. Rabbi Elio Chaim Mazel was an important rav in Europe in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was a rav in big cities, and his main shteller was in Lodz. He was the rav in Lodz, which was a very big city in Poland. So apparently there was a certain schnorr who would come to his door every single day, and Rabbi Eliyahu Chaim was had it with the schnorr, and he told his wife to not let him in. Don't let him in. So what happened was he was out one day for Rabbanus work, and he came back home. And his wife told him that what happened was the schnorr came back, and I felt really embarrassed to not let him in. So I let him in. I gave him some food to eat and some drink, and then I sent him his way. So Rabbi Eliyahu Chaim Hazal was concerned. Oh no, maybe she's asur to me now. Why? Because he warned her not to let this schnorr in to the house. And he let her in the house, and ostensibly there was a stira. Well, maybe it was an ichud, but maybe stira doesn't have to be like ichud. And he was concerned. Maybe she violated his kinoy. She was nistera, and maybe she's actually asura to him. And the halacha is that nowadays that we don't have mesota, she's asura la'olam. Right, that's the Gemara we had in the beginning.
You need two for kinoy.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. This was the Shiloh. He was apparently very concerned. So they sent this tshuva to his. He sent the tshuva to his.
Like his wife.
So he sent the tshuva to the Beis Halevi. So his contemporary, the Beis Halevi, was the Ravin Brisk, and the Beis Halevi has two tshuvos at the end of Chelek Beis, of Tshuvas Beis Halevi, where he discusses the sugya of Sota, and he doesn't say what the Shiloh was, why he's discussing the sugya, but apparently this is the family tradition, and that's the background to these two tshuvas where he discusses the sugya of Sota. So the Beis Halevi points out there is an important chakira that one can pose when it comes to kinoy of the Baal. We know that the Baal is mekana his wife, and he says that I don't want you to be mesiached with a certain man, and if she violates the kinoy and she's nistera, she becomes asur to him. So the Beis Halevi poses the following question: is the kinoy of the Baal a function of any time if she actually was mizana, if she actually had bia, she would become asura to her husband? For that type of relationship, the husband is allowed to do kinoy, right? That's definitely the simple shot, and that's what the Rivo was assuming. Or perhaps no, maybe kinoy is actually more expansive than that. Maybe kinoy applies to anything that the Baal is makbin on. And you see that why this is relevant for the question that he was asked. Maybe any kpeda. Steph's always shaking his head. We'll see. Yes, exactly.
You would have thought.
Okay. We're about to see that Gemara. Steph, you're spoiling all the fun over here. So or do you say no? That maybe kinoy is anything that the Baal is makbid on, he's allowed to tell his wife, I don't want you to do that, I don't want you to be with such a person. Even if theoretically she would be with such a person, biznus, it wouldn't aser her to her husband, but nevertheless he's allowed to do kinoy, and if she violates the kinoy, she would actually become asura. Even though if she actually had biznus, she wouldn't become asura, maybe through kinoy and stira, she would become asura, because kinoy is a function, maybe, of kpeda sabal. So those are the lashonos we're going to use. Is kinoy a function of bia, which is going to aser her to the baal, or is bia a function of anything that the baal is makbina? That's the question that the Beis Halevi posed, and you see why it's obviously relevant to the Shaila that he was supposedly asked. So says the Beis Halevi, there's conflicting evidence, but at first glance, there seems to be an explicit Gemara that we had in this week's Daf that Steph was mechavin to. So if you take a look at source 4, so the Gemara there in Sota Daf Chava is working through all the psukim that the Torah seems to be verbose in the psukim about Sota. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what's the word of Shech Vazer, what's it coming to teach us. So if you look at the second line in source 4, El Amarava, Prat L'Shekina L'Derech Ivar. So Rava suggests that the reason the Torah uses the word Shech Vazer is to tell us that kinoy only works on, kinoy does not work if the Baal is Mekanaher, that she should not do something, she should not have be a derech evarim. Shekinah la derech evarim. Sterech Egarim is a non... What was that?
Abnormal.
Not necessarily abnormal, no. Abnormal is Bishlo Kedarka. Derech Egarim is not... which Lashon? I'm trying to use Lashon Nekiyah. Not penetrating. Meaning not real Bia. Other forms of pleasure, but not sexual pleasure, but not through Bia. Whether it's Bia Kedarka, Bia Shlo Kedarka, the Gemara rejected that earlier. So Rava says, if he does Kinoi, Derech Evarim, the Torah says the Kinoi does not work, and we learn that from the Pasuk of the word of Shechva Zerah. So Amar Le Abai, Abai says to Rava, Pritzusa Ba'almahi, Upritzusa Mi Asarachmana, says Abai, you don't need the Torah to exclude Kinoi Derech Evarim, because, of course, Kinoi has to be something that she would... if she would actually violate the Aveira, she would become Asura to her husband, then that's what Kinoi is relevant for. However, if he says, if he does Kinoi on something that's Derech Evarim, since it's Pritzusa Ba'alma, it's Pritzus, it's Asur, maybe it's Asur Daraisa, but it's not something that she would become Asura to her husband for, if she doesn't actually have Bia with a different man, she doesn't become Asura to her husband, so says Abaye, why do you need the Torah to exclude that type of kinoi from the parsha of kinoi habal? So the Gemara has a back and forth about that. So just skipping a few lines, the Gemara says la'olam l'shekina la derech evarim. Okay, so if it's the Torah is coming to exclude derech evarim, why do you need the Torah to be memaida? So says the Gemara, ma'u d'seima b'kpeda d'bal tali rachmana u'bal haka kapid. I would have assumed that maybe the din of kinoi habal is a function of anything that the Baal is makpid on. If the Baal does not want his wife to do a certain thing, he's allowed to do kinoi in that, and if she violates that, she'll become asur to her husband. So I would have thought to say, maybe even derech evarim is included then in kinoi habal. Kamash malan, the Torah says shechva zara to exclude that. So 101 in learning Gemara is what we say in English is, what was the havamina and what was the maskana? What changed between the havamina and the maskana? So the Gemara says the Havamina was that maybe the Baal can do kinoi anything that he's makpid on. Kamash Malan, that in this case, he can't do kinoi in that. So now, is the Kamash Malan, asks the Beis Halevi, is the Kamash Malan that kinoi habal has nothing to do with kpedas habal? Kinoi habal only is relevant when it's going to potentially lead to something that if she commits the act, if she does Bia, she will become asur to her husband. But on something that she would never be asur to her husband, kinoi is irrelevant because kinoi is completely a function of Bia, which would asur her to her husband. That's one possibility in the Kamash Malan. The other possibility in the Kamash Malan is no. Really, the Havamina was correct. Bia is a function of Kpedas Habal. Anything that the Baal is makbid on, he can do a kinoyan. It's just that the Torah is limiting the type of kpeda that he could have. You might have thought to say that has to be something, it could be something, even derech evarim, even if it's not actual bia. Kamash Mulan, that derech evarim is not enough. It doesn't meet the threshold of znus that she violates in order for kinoy to work. But really, it's a function of kpedas habal. Those are the two ways to learn the Kamash Malan. Again, is the Kamash Malan that the Havamina was incorrect? We reject the Havamina. And Kinoi Habal is a function of any Bia, which would aser her to her husband, he can do Kinoyan? Or is it no? Anything that the Baal is makbid on, there's a limitation, and you have to know what fits into the kped of the Baal that the Torah allows the Baal to do Kinoyan, but really the Havamina stands, and Kinoy is a function of Kpedas Habal.
Kpedas Habal, that's... Can you explain that again?
Yeah, Kpedas Habal is anything that the Baal is... what's the good translation of makbid? On makbid on. Considers, right. Okay. So anything he doesn't want his wife to do. So
anything.
Yeah. So we see from the Gemara that there's a limitation because the Gemara says
so what
that
is a kapeda that's not bia.
Okay. Good
not
question.
Not pritzus of alma. What else? Could
right. So it. So we'll see. So we'll see. So we'll see. And maybe. Yes. Maybe. Okay. Maybe we'll see. I don't want to spoil it, but just for now, there may be a type of bia that wouldn't necessarily asur her to her husband.
More than pritzus of alma.
Exactly. There may be a type of actual bia.
How many things could it
okay.
be?
Okay. Oh. So it happens to be that there are a bunch that come up on the same daf. So we'll see. What? So the Gemara has a machlokas whether Nishika is considered bia or not.
Right.
So So if you assume the Shika is Bia, then it's Bia, and if it's not, just Pritzusa Ba'alma, right? So that does not, I don't think that would necessarily be a nafkamina. We'll have some nafkamina. So that was the Beis Halevi, Steph's Gemara, that the Beis Halevi said that L'chora, our Chakira, is tally on whether, how you learn the Kamash Malan of the Gemara. Is the Kamash Malan rejecting the Havamina? Nothing to do with Kepeda Sabal? Or no, it has to do with Kepeda Sabal, and you just have to know what fits into the under the umbrella of Kepeda Sabal. So the Beis Halevi points out that he thinks that really this question is a Machlokes Rishonim. Whoa. How is it going to be a Machlokes Rishonim? So if you take a look in source 6, the Rambam writes as follows, in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Sota, Halacha Vav, Amar La Al Tisri Imploni. So if the husband says to his wife, don't be alone with Ploni, V'haya katan pachos mi ben teisha shanim yom echad, and the person that he says not to be alone with is a child less than 9 years old, oh, Sh'amar La Al Tisri in Behema, Zu, or if he says that she should not be alone with a behema. So, ein zo kinoi. That's not kinoi, and if she violates the kinoi and she's nistara, she's not going to become asur to her husband. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, v'shachav ish osa, prat l'katan l'behema, shein osur osa alav. So says the Rambam, that she, the Torah excludes a katan and a behema from the parsha of kinoi. So the Rambam is quoting the Gemara earlier on the daf, where the Gemara says explicitly that we learn from this pasuk that kinoi does not apply to a katan. Kinoi does not apply to a katan. So what type of katan are we talking about? So what does the Rambam say again? The Rambam says that the Torah is excluding a katan who is under 9 years of age. Meaning,
can't warn your wife to be alone if it's under 9 years.
Exactly. But you can warn... Exactly, exactly. But you, according to the Rambam, you can warn her to be with a child who's under the age of 13. Meaning, even if he's a katan still, nevertheless, you're allowed to do anything. So what's the significance of the age of 9? What's the difference between 9 and 13? Oh, excellent. So Chazal assume, the Gemara assumes in many places, that for a male child, his bia is considered halachic bia at the age of 9, and for a girl, her bia is considered halachic bia at the age of 3. So the Rambam learned the Gemara that the Torah says that the Baal cannot do kinoi on a katan who is under the age of 9, whose bia is not considered bia. In other words, I would have had a havamina, if not for the Torah to say not this way, I would have had a havamina that the Baal can do kinoi even to a child who's under 9, even though his bia is not considered halachic bia, comes the Torah and says, no, you should know that the Baal cannot do bia, cannot do kinoi on a child who's under the age of 9. He has to be older than 9, even if he's under 13. But if not for the gzeiras hakasuv, I would have had a havamina, I would have assumed that the Baal can even do kinoi on a child who's under the age of 9, whose bia is not considered halachic bia. So now, let me ask you a question. If the Baal, if the Isha would have been mizana with a child who's under the age of 9, would she become asur to her husband?
No.
No, why? Because his bia is not considered halachic bia, according to everyone. She would not become asur to her husband. But nevertheless, the Gemara, according to the Rambam, the Gemara had a havamina that the Baal would be able to do kinoi on a child who's under 9, even though if she was actually mizana with the child, she would not become asura to her husband. Nevertheless, the Baal can do kinoi. And if she would have this yichud with this child who's under 9, she would become asura to her husband. Even though if she was actually mizana, she would not become asura to her husband. Okay, it's true. There's a gzeiras hakasuv that tells you, no, it doesn't apply to a katan who's under 9. But you see from the Rambam that there was a havamina. The starting point was to assume that even if the child would not asur the woman to her husband, nevertheless, kinoi would work. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Beis Halevi points out, it's not in the source sheet, but Tosis over there, Tosis on the daf, on Daf Lavav, assumes not the way. Tosis assumes,
if we didn't learn from this pasuk,
exactly, even though it's a funny thing, even though if she would actually be mizana, she'd be muteris to her husband. So says the Beis Halevi, you see from the opinion of the Rambam that kinoi is not necessarily a function of any type of bia which would asur her to her husband, because it would have applied even to bia of a katan who's under the age of 9. The Beis Halevi points out that what's the kamash malon?
The kino doesn't work on what's called because it exists.
Excellent point. So the Beis Halevi
learn, like, how do you learn Avmi?
We just said that.
That's saying which of the Xeris Akasif,
then the Xeris Akasif tells you that you're wrong.
But you need an Xeris Akasif to tell you.
To tell you that it's
essentially telling us Lashma Via, and therefore it's all about Via.
Right, but the point is that if you assume that the other Kamash Malans are already teaching us that it's a function of Biyah Hasuris. You don't need the Torah to tell you in every instant, oh, it has to... I mean, I should have known from the get-go that it has to be any Biyah that Asur's her to her husband. So I would know from the starting point that a Katan, who's under 9, if he's Mizana with this woman, she's not going to become Asur to her husband. So why do I need the Torah to go out of his way to exclude that?
It must be that there's that mechanism still in place.
Right. Okay. The Beis Halevi points out that Tosas argues on the daf. Tosas assumes that when the Gemara says that a Katan is not subject, if the Baal can't do kinoy with a Katan, Tosas seems to assume that it's talking about a katan under the age of 13, meaning the Gemara never had a havamina under 9 that the Baal can do kinoy. That was obvious because if she would be mezana with a child under 9, she would never become asur to her husband. The Gemara had a havamina, maybe a katan under 13, whose bia is considered bia, maybe the Baal can do kinoy. Kamash malan that if he's under 13, he can't do kinoy. But the Beis Halevi assumes that according to Tosas, the Gemara was never entertaining the possibility that the Baal can do kinoy on a man who would, if he would be mezana with a woman, she would become asurator, she would not become asurator to her husband. Because Tosas was assuming that kinoy habal is purely a function of bia, which would asur her to her husband. So the Beis Halevi says that Gemara about katan seems to be a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosas. Another nafkamina on the daf. The Gemara says, in source 7, if you flip the page, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, shachof mekan al yado posel b'tshuma. So the Gemara says, if you have a shachof, the Baal can do kinoy. So what's the case of shachof? What's the case of shachof?
Impotent.
Oh, so it's a
how do you pronounce the English word? Impotent?
I thought impotent.
Impotent.
You only went to Penn. He probably knows that. So there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos how to learn the Gemara of shachof. That the Baal can do kinoy on a man who is shachof. So Rashi learns in source 8, shachof, shebasar nishchaf, the kala v'yavesh ve'in bo koach. So, like what Stefan just explained, Rashi learns that shachof is referring to a man who is impotent, who's not able to have bia. Tosas quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who assumes not that way. Peirush Rabbeinu Chananel in source 9, she'inu bol kidarko ve'inu mazriya. He's not able, he's sterile. He's not able to have regular bia, and he's not mazriya, he's not able to impregnate her. But it sounds like he's able to have some type of bia. So says the Beis Halevi, what's this machlokas between Rashi and Tosus, whether the Baal can do kinoy on a person who in Stefan's Lashon is impotent, or the Gemara is talking about a person who's not impotent, but there's something wrong with his ability to impregnate her. So, says the Beis Halevi, L'chora, it's Talay on our Chakira, the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. If you assume that Kinoy Habal only applies if she would be Mizana with the man, she'd become Asura to her husband, then how could it be that Kinoy would work on a man who is impotent? He can't have Bia. If he can't have Bia, she can never become Asur to her husband with that man because he's never going to have Bia. So how could it be that the Baal can do Kinoy on that man? But if you assume that Kinoy Habal is a function of Kedas Habal, and again, like we saw in the Gemara earlier, it has to meet some threshold of Znus in order to be a significant for the kinoy to work, so maybe it would apply even on a man who is impotent. So again, so Rashi who says that the case of shachof is talking about a man who can't have bia, it's because Rashi is assuming like he understood the Rambam. that kinoi habal is purely a function of kpedas habal. And anything that Baal is makbid on, not anything, you know, maybe not in the case of Rabbi Elochai Maizel, but any type of kpeda that meets the threshold of znus, that's significant enough, the Baal can do kinoi on that. And that's why Rashi says that the case of Shachov, that's why Rashi can say that the case of Shachov is he can't even have Bia, and nevertheless the Baal can do kinoi. But Tosus, who quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, is Lashitaso. Tosus assumes that kinoi habal is only shayach, is only relevant if the woman was actually mizana with the man, she would become asura to her husband. So it's not shaykh to say that the Baal is doing kinoi on a man who can't have bia. It must be that he can have bia, there's something off about him, but he can have bia, and that would asur her to her husband. That's why the Baal can do kinoi. So another potential nafkamina in this chakira, another machlokes rishonim, which seems to depend on this chakira. Yeah. Yeah, so he can't. This man is impossible for him.
But Evan is saying so it's different than the katan because his bia is not considered bia.
Yeah. Okay, I hear the difference, but I'm not sure if that's a significant chiluk. Here, the question is, practically speaking, if she would be mizana with this man. When the Baal says that she shouldn't be Nistara, and she's Nistara, so would she become Asura to the husband? So both by the Katan and the Shachaf, according to Rashi, if she would have Bia with this man, she would not become Asura. The Katan because his Bia is not considered Halachic Bia, and this man because he can't actually have Bia. Even though there are different reasons, but it's the same... The same chisaron of lack of halachic bia. One is
like it's totally whether it's bia.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. The katan is because he's underage and therefore his bia is not considered halachic bia. You know, even if he's able to do more, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but even if he's able to do more physically than this person who's shachof, but it leads to the same thing. Their bia is lashma bia. It's not halachic bia, which would lead to her becoming asur to her husband. I agreed with that there's a chiluk, but the base lady assumes that it's not. Right, but we're assuming that Mishamish be'ever hames, which is what if he doesn't have kishui ha'ever, so that's not that. Yeah, that would be a zero even by Nishika. An 8-year-old?
Eight.
Oh, an 8-year-old. Yeah. What's the Messias? Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. There's a machlokas Beishame Beis Hillel. At what age? It's a funny machlokas. It seems to be a machlokas Messias. The machlokas in Sanhedrin, Beishame Beis Hillel, at what age is a male child able to impregnate a woman? At the age of 9 or 8? Yeah, so Beis Hillel is of the opinion that it's at the age of 9.
Impregnate or you will just...
Impregnate, that he's considered fertile. Yeah, so it could be that he has Zera at an earlier stage, but he's not able to... What was that?
No, it's a Metzias question.
It's a Metzias question.
We could theoretically have a science...
Usually we assume in the Gemara you can't have Machlokas and Metzias. There's a famous Ramban in Maseches Chulin where he quotes a Talmud Yerushalmi that we don't have Machlokas and Metzias because you can always just test it and experiment. And it doesn't make sense to have Machlokas and Metzias in the Gemara because Chazal believed in experimentation. So this one, I think the pshat with this one is this one you can't really experiment. I mean, at least in the time of the Gemara. At least in the time of the Gemara, you weren't really going to experiment to see, you know, which child is able to impregnate, you know, a woman at the age of 8 or 9. I assume that that's how you can have Machlokas and that Metzias. But nowadays, I'm sure it's verifiable. Yeah.
For a 9-year-old, the limit to know if it's B or not is if he can impregnate her?
That's what Shai was just asking.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, Shai was asking...
You know, see the flip side that for somebody to have the mizana, whether or not it matters if it counts or not.
Correct, for sure, okay. For sure. That's exactly what we're saying. That the Shai was, I think maybe he's right, that perhaps the question of at what age is Bia considered Bia is a function of at what point is he able to impregnate, and that's exactly the question of whether that Bia is considered halacha Bia to ask her to to the husband.
What if the woman did not become pregnant for whatever reason? Then it's still considered to be a...
Yeah, because it's called... Yeah, because we're... Let's say she's pregnant already. And she's not going to become pregnant again. So she's still going to become asur to her husband. It's all about the, you know, the koach of the boa, so to speak. Okay. How much time we have? 8 minutes? Okay. One other geshmaka thing that the Beis Halevi says that he thinks is dependent on this chakira of his chakira of whether kinoy habal is a function of kpedas habal or bio, which would asur her to her husband. So the Torah is a halachic sefer, right? The Torah is written by the son of the Rosh. And it's a halachic sefer, and he only quotes halachos, which are relevant, halach al-maisa bizman hazeh. So whenever the Torah veers from that and quotes things that are, which are only relevant, bizman ha-beis ha-mikdash, or bizman where we have a Sanhedrin, it's always a funny thing. So for some reason, in Hilchos Ishus, the Torah goes out of his way to write all the different types of bios that if a woman would have when she's married, she would become asur to her husband and she would be chayevis misa. So we don't give out misas based on bizman hazeh. So why would the Torah go out of his way to write which types of bios she would be chayevis misa for if she commits adultery? That's a, you know, that's not the Torah's derech to do that. So the Ramah explains in source 10, if you take a look at the fourth to last line in source 10, the Ramah writes, V'lachein kasav hara bal haturim harbi dinim emasai chaya misola. He thinks the Torah, for the following reason, writes many different halachos, whether she's going to be chayevis misa or not. Why? Because nafkamina bizman hazeh be'ez bia isha neseres al baila va'ayin b'fnim. Says the Ramah, because the nafkamina of whether she's chayevis misa is for bizman hazeh, whether she will become asura to her husband. Meaning the Ramah says that whether she's chayevis misa is a function of, or at least they're correlated to her becoming asura to her husband if she commits that bia. Again, any bia which she'd be chayevis misa for, she would become asura to her husband for. So there's a nafkamina of knowing whether she's chayevis misa bizman hazeh.
Is that true? I mean, like an animal?
Yeah.
Isn't she chayevis misa for an animal? For a bia with an animal?
Yeah.
But she wouldn't be asura to her husband.
Excellent. So the Beis Shmuel says, well, the Beis Shmuel is going to give a different potential nafkamina. So the Beis Shmuel says, he thinks that the Ramah is incorrect. The Beis Shmuel is a classic, he was a dayan in Poland in the 1600s, and it's a classic commentary on Ibn Ezra. So the Beis Shmuel says he thinks the Ramah is incorrect for a different reason, similar to what Yoni was saying, that we have a case where she's not chayevis misa, yet she's asur to her husband. The opposite. She's not chayevis misa, yet she's asur to her husband. And what's the case? Says the Beis Shmuel, in a case of Mishamish Be'ever Hames, what we're talking about, Rashi's interpretation of Shachas, says the Beis Shmuel, the Torah himself paskins that if a woman has what we'll call Bia with a man who is not able to have Kishoy Ha'ever, he's not able to have an erection, and she has something like looks like Bia with him, she'll become Asura to her husband, even though we paskin that she is not chayevis misa. So you see that the two things are not necessarily tuluyim zebuzeh. We have a bia where she becomes asur to her husband, yet she's not chayevis misa. So the Beis Shmuel thinks that the Ramah is incorrect. So what's the pshat in the Ramah? So the Beis Halevi points out, he says, where did the Torah actually say that if she's has bia with a person who is, well, we'll call mishamish be'ever hames, he can actually have kishrei ever. Where did the Torah say that she becomes asur to her husband? The Torah never said that explicitly. The Torah in Hilchos Sota quotes the Gemara that we had earlier about shachaf and says that if the Baal does kinoi on a man who can't have kishrei ha'ever, she becomes asur to her husband, just like Rashi interpreted the Gemara. Even though he can't have formal bia, nevertheless, kinoi habal works. So the Torah paskin that halacha lemaisa. So the Beis Shmuel assumed, says the Beis Levi points out, the Beis Shmuel assumed that if kinoi habal works on this man who can't have proper bia, certainly it must be that if she would actually be mezana with the man, she would become asur to her husband. Meaning, the Beis Shmuel assumed that the din of kinoi habal is a function of any bia which would asur. So if the Torah would paskin that you can do kinoi habal on a man who can't have proper bia, certainly, if she actually had this bia with the man who can't have proper bia, she would become asura to her husband. So says the Beis Halevi, but the Ramah was clearly not assuming that way. The Ramah was assuming, like we've been saying in the Rambam and Rashi, that kinui habal is a function of kpedas habal. And just because the Torah paskins that you can do kinui on a man who can't have proper bia, that doesn't necessarily mean that if she would actually have bia with that man, she would become asura to her husband. Because kinui habal is not necessarily a function of bia, which would asur, it's a function of pure kpedas habal.
That would answer his question.
Exactly. That would answer the Beis Shmuel's question. We're just going to rush this last point because I want to come back to the to Rabbeinu Tam. So again, Rabbeinu Tam Paskin, back to where we started. Rabbeinu Tam Paskin, that if the woman is mezana with her with the goy, she does not become asur to the baal, and she does not become asur to the baal. If the goy converts, she can now marry him. So one of the revised questions on Rabbeinu Tam was from the Gemara in Sota. Gemara in Sota said that you can do kinoi on a goy. So doesn't that assume, if you can do kinoi on a goy, doesn't that assume that if she would actually have bia with the goy, she would become asura to her husband and asura to the guy, the Boel? So says the Beis Halevi, no. Rabbeinu Tam was assuming, like the Rambam, and like Rashi, and like he's explaining the Ramah, that just because the Baal can do kinoi on a guy, and if she violates the kinoi, she'll become asura to her husband, that doesn't necessarily mean that if she would actually be mezana with the guy, she'll become asura to her husband, and therefore asura to the Boel as well. Rabbeinu Tam assumed that kinoi is divorced, is separate from the actual bia, which would asur. And just because he could do kinoi, does not necessarily mean that if she would have bia with that man, she would become asura to her husband. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam said, the Gemara in Sota is not a question on me. I'm talking about a case where the woman was actually mezana. And since I assume bias akum was lav shma bia, therefore when she is mezana with the goy, if the guy goes ahead and converts, she's allowed to marry the guy, and she did not become asura to that guy. Even though the baal could do kinoi, but that does not necessarily translate into her actually, if she actually had bia with the guy, she'd become asura to her husband, and therefore also asura to the boel. Because again, there's a din of echa the baal, echa the boel, and since in this case she would not become asura to her husband, she would not become asura to the guy. And that's where Rabbeinu Tam was matir, allowed this woman to marry the person that she was mezana with after he converted. That is the Tshuva Beis Halevi. And again, it all started with that very funny, interesting question about from Rabbi Leo Chaim Gazel.
Let's come and be a present with a non-Jew.